Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the program. Brian Diaz here with you. Hey, happy holidays, everybody. Yeah, we're right in the thick of it. And I appreciate you tuning in to the show as always. And you're probably thinking, hey, man, that really stinks for those guys there. They're working right there in the heart of the holidays. And if you're listening on the radio here on Christmas Eve or a little bit right later on, hey, I don't want you to worry, because actually we taped this a little while ago. We've been doing a little bit of that lately, as a matter of fact. But first things first, let me tell you, we got a good show coming up for you here today. We're going to be chatting with two friends of mine, two fine bartenders there at Latitude 29, in this case, Kimberly Patton Bragg and Sam Danner. And yeah, we're over there at Latitude 29, the very fine tiki bar run by Jeff Beachbum Berry and his wife, Anine, a super fine establishment. And we're talking, we talk tiki, but mostly what we're talking about is this program that they got going on called Sippin' Santa. And it's really a lot of fun. It started there at Latitude 29, and now it is spread to several bars in several states where they are serving up tiki cocktails with a sort of holiday twist. So a lot of fun. You know, kind of bringing in maybe some seasonal type ingredients or ingredients that make you think of the season. You know, think like allspice dram and cinnamon and some of these sorts of things. So we sip through some cocktails and we talk a little bit about the Sippin' Santa program and how it's grown from just taking place at Latitude 29 to become something that gets bigger every year and how that works. We talk a little bit about rum. We talk a little bit about Sam and his background, Kim and her background. So really a lot of fun. Good times always there at Latitude 29. I thank them for hosting us. Also wanted to mention, let's see, that's the show this week. Then next week coming up, also going to be a lot of fun. We're over at Aranya, a very fine taqueria and Mexican restaurant uptown in New Orleans. And we're going to be chatting with a chef and owner, Richard Papier, as well as our good buddy, friend of the show here, Shane Finkelstein, who is the showrunner for Top Taco and Agave Week, which is coming up in March of next year. Hey, it's coming up quick. And yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about Mexican food. We're going to talk about agave, so of course tequila and mezcal. Talk a little bit about Top Taco. That event has grown from being the sort of just the signature event, Top Taco, taking place Thursday evenings, typically during that week, to a whole agave week, which includes all kinds of cool stuff. An industry day, panel discussions, tequila and mezcal judgings, paired dinners, the world's largest Bloody Maria bar. So if you don't know what a Bloody Maria is, a Bloody Maria is a Bloody Mary where you're using tequila for the most part instead of vodka. You can also do mezcal. I think it probably qualifies as the same thing. But tequila in place of the vodka there in a Bloody Mary, that's a Bloody Maria. That's going to be going on again. All kinds of fun activities taking place throughout the whole week. So we'll get the rundown of all that from Shane, as well as, again, just sort of talking about, you know, Mexican food, talking about the Mexican food scene here in New Orleans. And yeah, talk a little bit about tequila and mezcal, two of my very favorite things. So that'll be the show that airs on the radio on New Year's Eve. But again, don't worry, we're not doing it live. It's being taped, so nobody's working. And then our show coming up, the first one of the new year, January 7th, is the kickoff to our French Quarter Fest series. Yep, we partnered up with our good friends at the French Quarter Festival, as well as our good friends at Louisiana Music Factory, the finest record store in the world, as far as I'm concerned. So what I like to say, I've had the honor and privilege, of partnering with the finest music festival, which is the French Quarter Festival, and the finest record store, which is Louisiana Music Factory. And we're going to be doing this ongoing series. If you've been listening to the show, you know about it already, but where we interview musicians that participate in French Quarter Festival, and everybody's local, you know, regional, from New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana. And we talk about their music, but we also talk about their love of food and drink and all kinds of other things. And so we actually have a couple of those that we just recorded at Louisiana Music Factory last weekend, so on December 15th. And that was a lot of fun. Be on the lookout, friends, the next time we do that, because we do it when the store is open and you can come to the store and talk with the musicians and watch us tape the show, which is really a lot of fun. And we had great lively conversation. So the one coming up to kick off this series, our first one is, as I said, going to be the show on January the 7th, and that will feature the very fine jazz and R&B singer Stephanie Jordan and the equally fine jazz clarinetist Tim Lachlan. And like you can imagine, everybody in New Orleans, everybody knows everybody, or at least everybody's one degree of separation. And we were trying to kind of pair people that maybe have commonalities, but also maybe have some differences. And of course, Stephanie and Tim apparently have never played together, but they have known each other for years. And everybody, you know, this common shared history, weird connection with WWL, all kinds of stuff that comes out in the interview. And then we got another one that's going to be coming up in early February is when it'll air, but we taped it the other day. And that is going to feature Lou Heel and Shalia Sunchaser of Waterseed, the super cool future funk band from New Orleans, as well as Dr. Bryce Miller, who has come up with a kind of created his own genre of music based on traditional jazz, a new trad. And that's going to be, well, that was a lot of fun talking with them too. So that'll be coming up. And so keep that on your radar. I'll let you know, of course, more when that one's happening, as well as remind you of the one happening on January 7th. But that will be an ongoing series there. Our French Quarter Fest series presented by Louisiana Music Factory will be a really good time. So friends, hey, what we're going to do here in just a second is we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and then we're going to kick it over to Latitude 29, where again, we're joined, we are joined by our friends, Kimberly Patton Bragg and Sam Danner, two great bartenders, really fun guests who we have a great laugh, talking Sippin' Santa, talking tiki, talking rum, talking all kinds of stuff like that. So everybody, if you're listening on the radio, go get the podcast, because they're going to stick around for our podcast-only portion, another shot with NOLA Drinks, and I'll have my parting shot and all that good stuff. But hey, happy holidays to y'all. Come on back.
We're down yonder on the farm, raising chicken and raising corn down.
Hey friends, Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Agave Week is back with its new headquarters at the Ace Hotel in downtown New Orleans. Week-long events kick off Sunday, March 10th with tequila and mezcal tastings, seminars, panel discussions, and one-of-a-kind parties. Visit NOLAAgaveWeek.com for tickets and info. The Grand Tasting is the third annual Top Taco with unlimited gourmet tacos and cocktails from some of the best restaurants in the city. It's happening at Waldenburg Park Thursday, March 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. For tickets and info, visit TopTacoNOLA.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO, 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends, as always this week. And if you were listening at the top of the show, and I hope you were, you know we are at one of my very favorite spots here in New Orleans, Latitude 29, a very fine tiki bar run by Jeff Berry and his lovely wife, Anine. And I am pleased to be joined by two of my good friends, two of my favorite bartenders here in town, Sam Danner. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, Brian. Thanks for having us on, man.
Yeah, man. It's good to have you on. It's the first time you've been on.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
So it's good to finally get you on the show here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, cool. And also Kimberly Patton Bragg. Kim, how are you, buddy?
I'm surviving.
You're surviving. You got your clutch in the coffee.
A little bit of rum last night, so.
No, okay. Well, you work in a tiki bar, so that kind of makes sense. Was this job-related or not job-related?
This was after job-related.
So research is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, I'm always working.
You are always on.
We're not drinking, we're learning.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. And you know, one of our, we were just laughing because last couple times the show that you've been on, your partner in crime, Sam, as you put it, is our good buddy Paul Gustings.
Yes.
Who refers to you as the two generals.
Yes.
And my thinking is pretty much, it's probably only like one of, or two of four generals that he actually knows.
You know, he's Dutch, you know, yeah. we let him get a pass. You know, I refer to him as, oh God.
And
that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Because he fancies himself, not that we want to talk about politics, but he tries to come across this historical intellectual humor. And my thinking is the other two generals, besides Patton and Bragg, that he probably knows,
right,
are the one that sells the commercial, the cartoon that sells car insurance,
yes,
and maybe Mills, the cereal maker.
General Mills.
Yeah. The colonel doesn't count, I don't think.
Yeah, so. The colonel doesn't count.
No, no. He looks too much like the colonel.
That's true.
Well, he is our spirit animal here, so I'm glad he at least came up in conversation once.
Exactly.
Yeah, there he goes. Does he still have his picture in the back of the cooler over there?
Ooh,
no.
That's a mystery. That might be a whole podcast in itself.
Okay. Exactly. Who stole Paul?
He has the little stocking hidden around the corner at Manolito that's not on display because only the employee ones are on display on the stairwell.
Oh,
so I'm wondering,
God,
if there's something weird where once that stocking went up, then the picture back here disappeared. because he can only be, you know, in so one place at a time that way.
We need to check the timestamps on the security footage.
Yeah. I might have a mole over at Manalito, so let me find out.
Yeah, I think we know some people. Let's do something. This will be some seriously hard-hitting drink journalism here.
Absolutely. What happened to Paul?
It's not 48 hours or 24 hours, whatever the hell that show's called. But cool, guys. Well, it's really fun having you on. We're sitting here at Latitude 29, as we mentioned, a great spot run by your boss and friend, Jeff Barry, and his lovely wife, Anine. We always want to make sure, because Anine's like the super, the glue, right? So we need to make sure that Anine's...
And Brad is the guardian at the gate. He is our head bartender and GM, and he's amazing, and he created all these drinks. Jeff's a little
Jeff's supervision.
Supervision. Yeah, that's a word.
There you go.
Hello, coffee.
Isn't he in L.A. or something right now? Or
I think he's in L.A. right now.
Is it Thursday? It's Thursday. Must be L.A. situation.
Exactly. Sure.
He has been jet setting.
It's that jet set lifestyle that he leads.
He's been busy.
Oh, he's making sure that every single Sippin' Santa is, you know, making sure they're making Brad's drinks right.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. That somebody's got to do it, right?
Exactly.
And so that's what we got kind of got going on. Our theme is winter cocktails here today. Mm-hmm. And you guys do a fun little tiki spin on that, which go figure, we're in a tiki spot run by Jeff Barry. So anyway, yeah, that's a real leap. But Sippin' Santa.
Yeah. It's like tiki is absurd. Christmas is absurd. You know, if we could get even more over the top.
Yeah, there you go.
Then we can. So, yeah.
As much kish as possible.
Yeah. So, it's a Christmas explosion in here right now.
Or like Santa barfed in here, I think. Yeah, it's an explosion of certain sorts. Christmas. Let's not say which side of Santa it exploded out, but where we're going
on Hawaii and then trucked it in here.
Pretty much.
Or something along those lines. So tell us a little bit about Sippin' Santa as far as, have you guys been doing that pretty much since the place opened, right?
Yeah, I think this is the fourth year. I mean,
is it the fourth year? Wow.
I think so. Maybe the first year we weren't involved, but you probably know more about Miracle than I do, Ken.
No, because I was living here, so
So it started kind of in New York as this Miracle pop-up bar with Mace, Miracle on 9th, and then that sort of exploded, did really well nationwide. They wanted to do kind of a tiki spin-off of it. So for the first few years, Mace kind of put together a couple bars, Lost Lake in Chicago and Boilermaker in New York, and ourselves. So we were kind of running it between the three of us, each contributing drinks to the menu, each probably changing each other's drinks significantly.
Everybody has their own style. You know, so
I think for more consistency this year, they asked the Bum to take it over completely. So this year it is, and this is a mouthful, Beach Bum Berries Sippin' Santa Surf Shack.
Yeah.
So it's been really cool and very well received. I think there's at least 10 bars.
I think it's 11.
11 bars throughout the country.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay, so I didn't know that there was a broader network of Sippin' Santa action going on.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is the first year for it. And it's and I think it would have been broader, but a lot of places that wanted to do it actually weren't. They had to be very selective. They weren't tiki bars, so they wanted to make sure that the ingredients could stay consistent. So I think next year it will be even bigger.
Yeah,
so
they're even talking possibly internationally.
Wow. I had no idea.
So some of the people, it was so funny right when he was announcing Sippin' Santa. Now it's become kind of a New Orleans tradition. They're like, we're getting people asking in August when do you start the Sippin' Santa and all that. But it's just grown immensely. And right when he announced it, then people in Florida are like, when's it going to be in Florida? When's it going to be here? When's it going to be there? And it's like, well, just give us a call.
Yeah, there you go. You can be a franchisee if you want to. Right?
Won't hurt my feelings, man. So.
That's pretty cool. So now, are people doing? Are they kind of doing their own drinks entirely, or is it?
No,
it
these
is
are a, all Brad's drinks under Jeff Beachbum's supervision. That's the word again. Why can't I remember?
Yes, guidance.
Because of course,
guidance,
supervision. I don't really remember.
Yes, under the whip.
So, right. But so we. He wanted to make sure they're going to be consistent everywhere. So
that's really cool.
And it's also tricky because there are different allocations in different cities,
like with the rums and stuff and things like that.
These are very proprietary. You know, as you know, when people ask us for our Mai Tai recipe, it's like nope. NDAs. Sorry. yeah, non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah, that's
just,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Part of the history of Tiki is, you know, that little bit of secretiveness, you know.
Yeah, when we had Jeff on, as you guys probably know, it was like a June, I want to say, we did a show, yeah. And we were talking about that and, you know, talking about the whole thing with between Trader Vic's and, and I'm forgetting,
Don
Beachcomber. Thank you. Jeez, I should know that. And how, you know, what was it? You know, Don was very secretive, right? Mm-hmm. And things were just given numbers. It's like number three or something. Yeah. Actually, just Angostura bitters.
Bartenders
but that was
didn't
like,
even know what was in it.
What was in it, yeah. And, you know, and Jeff doing all of his research. And then I guess, you know, whereas Trader Vic, you know, is a little bit more open, apparently, right, about mm-hmm. what his recipes were and those things. And, yeah. You know, I kind of, we see sort of what has played out in that regard.
Absolutely. So we, you know, just kind of hold true to the traditions of it, you know, because that's what, you know, Jeff's his life's work has been that, is yeah. research and all that. So we do Tiki the way Tiki was created. So he's a cocktail archaeologist, really. So,
yeah. So I mean, really a historian and a writer.
Yeah,
and
so
I,
just yeah. try to run true to all that.
I think a lot of people know that, you know, with Jeff in his case, and I mean, we talked about this before with him, but, you know, he started out, right, as a historian and a writer and has a background in film and all mm-hmm. of that stuff. And so he, you know, he didn't start out as a bartender. He started out as a researcher and a writer and
yep.
and doing that, and then took the foray, I think, probably due to the bravery of Anine, right, to,
oh, yes.
to
oh, yeah.
open the place here.
Yeah, still not a bartender. He will be the first to tell you, you do not want him behind the bar making drinks.
I've seen it. I've seen it. There's a truth to that.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty.
It's not. Yeah. Too slow.
He's oh, great yeah. at tasting.
Yeah, right.
He knows
right.
where his strengths fall.
Right, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Where's a hat looks good on the other side. I think right. that's a good way to put it. Well, why do we sip on one of these bad boys
exactly.
if we can? What which one should I start?
Let's start with the
go blue.
Actually, let's start with the Sippin' Santa.
All right. Yes. Also, now we have a drink actually called the Sippin' Santa.
And it's in a Sippin' Santa. So
it is in a Sippin' Santa. So I'm actually going to, we're taking a photo here. I'm going to get that. So
and you're wearing the proper shirt.
And I am wearing it. I figured this was kind of seasonally appropriate, the shirt. So friends, go look at our Instagram page and our Facebook page because you'll see my shirt and the Sippin' Santa glass here. It is radio. So I'm not, we got a Santa in a ceramic mug that is, and he looks pretty sippin' and pretty safari. And so what is this drink, guys?
Okay. So this one is using rum, a little bit of Amaro. Some lemon, some orange, and a special gingerbread mix. So, so it's got all those holiday flavors along with the kind of citrus flavors. And us being in New Orleans and I'm from Florida, it's like, you know, snow is weird to me at Christmas.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah right. right.
But
it's the other kind in Florida.
Exactly. True that.
The snow smells so good.
Why are all these square groupers coming
in? Yeah, right, exactly. Well, so, and I know because we were just, you know, talking about this, sort of the secretive nature of Tiki. Are we allowed to disclose what rum is in this one?
No.
An aged Demerara.
There we go.
let's talk style of rum.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And Sam, tell people, what is an aged Demerara rum?
So Demerara rums comes from the Demerara River in Guyana. And for some reason, the soils of that river just produce really rich cane and really rich rums, which complement that drink so well.
I mean,
well.
How else would you make the punch at Jim Jones' little festival? We need to have good sugar, flavor aid.
Right, so, yeah, right. You gotta.
I'm such.
That was a weird. That was a weird turn
know,
right there. We were talking about
though.
Not real snow. Talking about like Peruvian snow in Florida, and now we're all the way to the Jamestown massacre Jonestown, excuse me, massacre. Not to be confused with the Jamestown massacre.
Yeah,
that's
one.
Virginia. Different
town.
One. But yeah. Cool. This is really nice. So. I'm talking about it with Demerara. We'll go a little further and tell us how would that say that style of rum in production be different from maybe not necessarily an agricole, but say like more something else.
Yeah, so the production methods are going to be fairly similar. Now, El Dorado is producing most of the Demerara rums, and they, to my knowledge, have the only operational wooden coffee still. So now that is a pretty interesting production note. Now, we're not, you know, those are pretty high-end kind of single-barrel expressions they do in that wooden coffee still, but all the El Dorado lines and those Demerara rums, again, there's just a different richness to it. They're not as heavy molassesy as like some of the more English-style Jamaican rums.
Right.
Not nearly as vegetal as the agricoles, obviously. Mm-hmm. And for that drink in particular, just it seems to work. especially with that gingerbread mix, yeah. because it's not an overly sweet gingerbread. It's more of a spicy ginger, and yeah. that rich rum really cuts through that, I think.
That makes sense. I'm guessing because I'm getting like not only from the ginger, but from the rum, those sort of baking spice notes like you're totally. Talking about on totally. There that are very pleasant in this one. Well, let's do this, you guys. Let's take a brief little break. Got here it. On the show, and then we're going to come back. We got a blue one. We're going to taste a blue
yeah.
one, and we've got one that's in a coconut, even though it's a ceramic coconut. So we're going to taste that one.
Yep.
And yeah, we're having a good time here, friends. We are at Latitude 29, right here in the French Quarter. On what are we on? South Peters, right? Technically, between South Peters and Decatur. So here we are, and
in the confusing place.
In the confusing place, yes, indeed. And we're talking about Sippin' Santa. And all kinds of other wonderful tiki stuff here during the holidays. We're going to take a little break here, friends, on the Noel Drink Show. Come on back.
Oyster rake scraping down Grand Highway.
Now, if you ever been down to New Orleans, then you can understand just what I mean. Now, all through the week, it's quiet as a mouse, but on Saturday night, they go from house to house. You don't have to pay the usual admission if you're a cook or a waiter or a good musician. So if you happen to be just passing by, stop in at the Saturday night fish.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian D. is here with you. Thanks for listening in. Yeah, we're at Latitude 29. We are talking Sippin' Santa. So it's Tiki by way of the holidays. A lot of fun here chatting with my friend Sam and Kim, who are behind the stick here. Come see them at Latitude 29. And actually, let's do this, Sam, because it's the first time you've been on the show. Let's get a little bit of your background, man. How did you find yourself behind the bar at Latitude 29?
Oh, man. Well, you know, we've already been singing the praises of Beach Bum, and he is pretty much the reason I'm here. I had actually never worked in a restaurant or bar before. So I had heard about this crazy Tiki enthusiast that was opening a bar here. Actually having drinks at the Aaron Rose, overheard somebody talking about
where this. Business gets done.
Where business gets done. Yeah. I guess that was technically my first, bar business meeting was at the Aaron Rose.
If you don't know, man, friends, it is so perfect. Yeah. What Sam just said.
So I started off right on the right foot. So I came here, applied to be a dishwasher, bar back, whatever I could learn from the Beach Bum as, and, somehow they hired me as a bar back, and then I suckered them into letting me behind the bar. And now they're going to have to drag me away from this place, man.
Yeah, man.
And it's cool. I thought I was a good bartender here. And
oh, yeah.
Then we hired...
He's really seriously one of the most graceful bartenders I've seen behind the bar.
Well, Kim, don't
you mean from
me
like
blush.
Like a move? like from a movement presentation
movement.
Kind
he
of standpoint?
He has the
okay.
right ballet, you know? And I'm more like a... bull in a china shop.
Well, but I don't think there's any way to be graceful in tiki when you're grabbing 13 different bottles at a time.
Well, you've managed to do it somehow.
That's impressive.
Well, I was trying to compliment Kim because I thought I was a good bartender here, and then we hired Steve Yamada back, and then we hired Kim, and I went, man, I just went from being like a good bartender here to like the fifth best bartender here all of a sudden. So, Kim, I don't get to tell you enough. It's really awesome getting to work with you.
I mean, I love working with this kid.
My bar mentor. You are bar mentor to my bar mentors. Aww. So it's been really nice. So, and I feel very grateful about that with the Beach Bum and all the employees we've had here. I've gotten to learn from the best, and it's... I feel like I've very much lucked out.
And everybody has their own distinct personality, too, which is
sure.
really, really fun. You know, it's everybody has their own thing. Everybody has their own style, but it's all translated into the same drink. So you know what, this Blue Christmas you're going to get from me is going to be the same one from Sam. You're just going to get it in a different way.
Yes,
yeah. You know, I mean, I am not for all tastes.
Do we have to ask your mom that? Was something we talked about before we went on the air here. Well, you know, Kim, and one of the things with you that I think is really cool, and I don't want to put words in your mouth in regards to your story, but if I remember correctly, you told me the reason why you wanted to come to work at Latitude 29, you had a strong background, obviously, in the bar industry, a strong background. I know a lot of your bailiwick was bourbon and tequila, if I remember right, or whiskey and tequila. And you really took this plunge because you wanted a new challenge
Absolutely.
And wanted to learn in
you
this
know,
situation.
It's a big, big challenge. This is the most difficult bartending I've done in 20-something years in the business. I've done craft. I've done dives. I've done, you know, jazz clubs. I've owned a restaurant. I've done all that. And, man, this is intense. And it's also a different art form. It's completely different. It's a true craft. And also, if you think about it, it's like we'll blend, like, a bourbon and a rum. We have a drink on the menu that has, you know, a tequila and a Irish whiskey. But this is the only category when you're talking about rums that you really blend two rums together. You
right.
don't often
right.
see like somebody's blending two gins together or two
bourbons. That's really
together.
Not com- in anything.
It's really
yeah.
not that common or even necessary. But rums, it's such a unregulated spirit, except for agricole, of course, because the French love to regulate everything. But it's the only thing in which you like. A quarter ounce of a Demerara along with this Jamaican makes this particular drink work, and it's a great challenge, and I love it. And also, you know, it's there's no crying in the tiki world. I mean, it's an absurd, wonderful place to be. So
yeah, that's cool. You know, yeah. and what you just said, I think it's a
you
great point
cry
too.
Over a pina colada, you can't that's cry. Weird. I mean,
look, they got colorful umbrellas, yeah. and drinks are blue, and like blue not in the sad way, but like blue in a happy way.
Yeah, good lord, yeah, get it
Santa's
together,
not
buddy.
Sad. No. There's not that third S in there. That's sad. Just sipping Santa, man.
Sipping Santa's sad shack of sadness. Oh, man. All right, cool.
Yeah, that sounds like annoying. A tiki bar out in Bakersfield, man, or something like that. Well, so something you just said, Kim, which I think is really neat when, you know, sort of discovering some of the world, the classic world of tiki. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got a few. Jeff's been gracious to me and given me some of his books and things like that. And I've actually purchased a few, too. I'm not just, like, mooching. But so, you know, he's gotten a little money out of me. But, you know, like, kind of going through and I, you know, looking at him, you're kind of like, well, you know, okay, I got this rum and this rum, but I don't have this rum. Ah, does it really matter? It actually matters.
It does. And, I mean, we're talking even a quarter of an ounce.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've got some recipes that call for a teaspoon or something, you know? So dash of this, dash of that.
And like with the modifiers in particular,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it just all depends. And it's truly everything that is on our menu has been so well thought out, worked out, perfected, all of that. So
right,
we
right.
want to make sure that, you know, it's going to stay consistent and more importantly, delicious and strong. So.
And circling back to those non-disclosures, I mean, that's why we have signed these. Those mm-hmm. blends of rum to go into the Mai Tai, you can say, oh, we've got a Demerara rum and an Agricole and a Dark Jamaican, but the particular blends that you choose and the particular expressions can change that drink significantly.
Entirely, so, right? Yeah.
And the bum has spent a lot of time trying all those different combinations of rum. So, yeah, we keep those pretty close to the chest.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. you know, and you put that time in and you put that artistry in and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think we know too. I mean, and I've learned this the hard way by mistake. You know, if you go a little too far with falernum or a little too far with allspice dram, you've killed it, man.
Totally.
And
yeah.
not in a good way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Not in a good way. Yeah. Allspice can definitely, that's a tricky one.
So. A lot of these modifiers are really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a dash, you know, a dash mm-hmm. goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got a blue one.
You've got a blue one. Don't be scared of the blue drink.
No, I'm not afraid of the blue drink. So what?
So
what do we got
this
going
is
here?
This is our Blue Christmas. So of course, you know, this is using a little bit of coconut, vodka, lemon, and blue curacao. And I'm not even a vodka drinker, and I love that drink. I think it's just really it has a touch of creaminess in that coconut, but mm-hmm. it's not super sweet. It's really kind of light. And it's blue. It's awesome.
And it's a really
that
good
is the
color
one
blue.
If I'm filling up cheater bottles of blue curacao, that is what I spill all over myself. And I look like, you know, like a smurf.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, you forgot one key ingredient, the shredded coconut.
The shredded
on top.
Coconut.
Yeah, so you got to have the shredded coconut
yeah,
on the top.
You got to have
top,
that.
Man.
It's snow.
It's snow. It looks a lot more like the Florida snow.
It does look a little bit like that. That's why we also give you a straw.
Right.
Oh, that was good.
Hey, but tiki's all five senses, you know, and that little shredded coconut, when we did the first night of Sippin' Santa, we forgot to get the shredded coconut.
And it just wasn't the same.
And people actually asked about it. They remembered that from the year before. So it's the whole experience, you know, it's like you that first taste, sometimes with the eyes, especially with tiki, we only half jokingly say tiki's all five senses. Because it should be all
it should be
senses.
Right. And, yeah. I mean, and we talk. It sits in a context of a story.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a very broad landscape with all of this.
Exactly. I mean, even the glassware. You know, so it's like, you know, the Sippin' Santa. He's got a surfboard. This one, we've got, you know, Santa on a surfboard, and palm trees and all that kind of stuff. So this has all been thawed out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question, and we obviously don't need to discuss which blue curacao you're specifically using, but I think a lot of people out there think, blue curacao. Oh, it's this cloyingly sweet artificial
it's
stuff.
Curacao with blue food coloring.
Right, right.
That's
right.
It.
So there's the point. Is there's like some good ones on the market that you can actually get your hands on that are more than just like the crappy De Kuyper. No, okay, I just dropped a name, but
right.
Stuff out there that actually are not quite as sweet. They're not quite as syrupy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and it's also a matter of how much you use and stuff like that
too.
And it's, you know, quit being a damn snob.
There you go. Right. There you go. I like that. That's a good way to put it. It's freaking blue, man.
It's blue.
It's
come
adding
on.
Color to your drink, and with the color, you get a little extra alcohol in there. Who complains about that?
Exactly. What's wrong with
Sam,
you?
Sam, there you
win-win
go. There
situation.
You go. Exactly. Exactly.
True.
Well, you guys, let's do this. Let's take another little break here. We're going to come back. We're going to taste one more. And you guys are going to stick around for another shot with Noel Drinks on the podcast. The only thing, we'll talk a little bit more about some other winter cocktails and things. But hey,
yeah, my break
here on the Noel Drinks Show, friends. Come on back.
My book has got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Yes, I went up on a mountain. I looked down on the sea. I seen the crabs and the fish, yeah, doing the beep by beep. Cause my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a.
Hey friends, Brian Diaz here with the NOAA Drink Show. Agave Week is back with its new headquarters at the Ace Hotel in downtown New Orleans. Week-long events kick off Sunday, March 10th with tequila and mezcal tastings, seminars, panel discussions, and one-of-a-kind parties. Visit NOAAAgaveWeek.com for tickets and info. The Grand Tasting is the third annual Top Taco with unlimited gourmet tacos and cocktails from some of the best restaurants in the city. It's happening at Waldenburg Park Thursday, March 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. For tickets and info, visit TopTacoNOAA.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. We are here at Latitude 29, chatting with two of my good friends and fine bartenders, fine human beings, Kimberly Patton Bragg. All right, all right. Sam, a fine human being,
Morgan's
and
done.
Kim. Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah, we're talking about Sippin' Santa. And, you know, when you guys, I know we were talking about how these drinks are pretty strict in how they're made and so on and so forth. But how do we kind of marry? We talked about it with the baking spice a little bit, the ginger spice on the first drink. How do we kind of marry the world of tiki and Santa? Are we looking for those sort of touches of seasonal flair,
oh,
like
absolutely.
Adding the ginger spice in there? And what are some other things that, like, you know, like, let's say maybe like with the blue drink, what do we...
Well, the blue drink, I mean, you've got the snow, the coconut.
Right, so we got the aesthetic part
kind
of it.
Stuff, and it's Blue Christmas. That's a great
the name Blue Christmas is available.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. We're, you know, excuse me, it's swallowing funny. Woo!
Well, I'll jump in.
You need a blue drink?
Yeah,
there you go.
It's
got that creaminess. It'll coat your throat, exactly. Like we're talking about.
But I don't think it was too far removed from the beginning with tiki and Christmas. Just with the amount of allspice we use, the amount of cinnamon syrup, the amount of vanilla syrup. Mm-hmm. All those things kind of fall in line with those traditional kind of Christmas flavors.
Allspice, like mulled wine and
totally.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, because the reason I was asking that question is very much as you just said, Sam. I think a lot of people might go tiki, and you're kind of thinking, you know, boat drinks in summertime
right.
and bright fruit flavors and these sorts of things. But really, a lot of these ingredients, especially a lot of the modifiers that we're talking about, like allspice dram or
mm-hmm.
things like that, have that kind of real holiday note to them,
absolutely.
Like cinnamon, as you said,
and
allspice.
I try to explain to people because tiki has that bad rap of being super sweet and this, and I just tell people, I'm like, don't worry, we're not cruise ship tiki. You know?
Disco tiki.
Yeah, disco tiki. Yeah, exactly.
Disco tiki.
But, mm-hmm. We balance it out with a lot of citrus and also with proof. I mean, some of these, you're like, oh, I'm totally fine. You go to the bathroom, you're like, oh, I'm not good.
Yeah, wow.
I need to...
sea legs.
Yeah, I'm jelly-legged right now, so...
They can be deceptive, right?
They can be, yeah.
But going back to the Christmas and tiki connection, one thing that you don't even have to search flavor profiles for, the biggest draw to me of tiki was the escapism factor of it. And that ties into Christmas so well. I mean, we're believing
that's
in a,
so
you know,
true.
Yeah.
A giant fat man flying around delivering presents. I mean, you've got to go into an escapist mindset, and it works so well with tiki. I mean, we were already an escapism bar, so... Throw Santa into the mix and you double up on it.
That's really well put, Sam, because we're talking about, as we know with tiki, it's a so-called faux culture, right?
Right.
And you know, Santa is, sorry, kids. Okay, kids, cover your ears.
Cover your ears.
Santa's not real. So, I mean that makes a lot of sense in the escapism of the holidays and some of these things, actually. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point.
I see that overlap a lot with the Disney, Kim, you're a Disney fan too, you know, that escapism of like wanting to go to Disney and like lose yourself in it.
Absolutely.
It translates to Tiki so well. So I think that's why there's so much overlap with Disney and Tiki.
I think that's one of the things, especially with Disney and Tiki and with, you've got Disney Tiki people. You've got the historical Tiki people.
The Rockabillys.
Hot Rod, yeah. Rockabillys, yeah.
The
and all that.
Mid-century
folks. They've got these little different sects of people that are into Tiki.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney, you're completely right. And when you're a kid, you look at it with wonder. And then when you're an adult, you're like, how in the hell did they do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because we become more practical. It's like, and it's a different type of wonder, but it is that escapism, and it's a place where you feel safe and have a good time. So,
you know, one of my very favorite rides, you guys, all going back forever and still is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. To me, that was like when I was in college in San Diego, we used to cut school and go up and sometimes have other things going on in our system when we would go to Disneyland. To recreate that wonder of being a child, I'll leave it like that.
Yes.
And, I remember one of my very favorite days there, not going too far down this road, but there was no one there. It was like a Tuesday in March, and we went on Pirates of the Caribbean 11 times in a row where they didn't make us get off the boat. We're like, can we just keep going? They go, keep going. We just went around and around. And that's,
we're not getting off.
We're not getting off. And that totally. And I mean,
you commandeered the ship, man.
Pretty much, man.
Take over.
Exactly. I grew up in Florida, so it's different there.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until I went to Disneyland that it was New Orleans-based. And then there was whole New Orleans Square, and I'm standing on the corner of, you know, Esplanade and Royal in L.A., and I live on Esplanade and Royal. It was really weird.
It is weird, huh? And it's a funny connection.
I'm like, the ocean's on the wrong side. Everything's weird here. So.
We were talking about, when Jeff was on, we were chatting about the idea that, you know, the Tiki culture and the folk culture conjures up a lot of images. A lot of the imagery and stuff is drawn from the South Pacific,
mm-hmm.
and that side of the planet, whereas really what we're talking about with a lot of the flavors and actual ingredients, it's really a stronger Caribbean influence on
absolutely.
All of this.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got two things from Disney World right there. We've got the drumming guys, the Imagineer had made for the bombs.
So, oh, that's cool.
Those are from the Enchanted Tiki Room. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's another one.
It was
so
funny when they were putting this together and Nene showing me this and that. I was like, oh, I love those. She said, of course you picked the one Disney thing. So, yeah. And strangely enough, the first time I ever went to the Enchanted Tiki Room was last year.
And oh, really? Okay.
And I've been to Disney hundreds of times, so I don't know how I always missed it.
You know,
so.
I think it's like one of those ones that when you're a little kid, it's a little harder to sit through.
I think
for some
so.
Weird reason.
I think so.
It doesn't quite have that like that flash
the
to it, that certain
factor.
Thing,
yeah.
that thrill factor
exactly.
to it.
Exactly.
Because I know when I was a little kid and my parents would go and I'm like,
I know. We were always
going on the Jungle Cruise, man. Pirates of the Caribbean, Space Mountain, man.
Country Bear Jamboree.
Yeah. Something I always liked about Country Bear Jamboree.
It's hilarious.
Yes. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Kids need to negotiate. Yeah. I'll spot you one Hall of Presidents for one Tiki Room. Yeah, see, one or the other.
One or the
Mom.
Other, man. The Hall of, Hall of Presidents, that was a tough one.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
And it's like in Tomorrowland. You're like, there ain't no tomorrow with that one. That was yesterday land, man. Well, you guys, we got about 3 minutes left before we close the radio portion out.
Yeah.
What do we got in the? What do we have in the coconut?
All right.
The ceramic coconut. I'm being clear here.
So this is our colada. And this is our Christmas colada.
The Kringle colada.
Thank you. And we've added a little bit of Amaro to it, so it's a little bit different than most people are used to. Even our regular coladas are not super sweet because we boost it up with a little bit of lime juice. And so we've done the same here, but it's tweaked to be a little bit different for Christmas. So,
okay.
So, yeah.
Do you think, and this is a random question also, do you think like Jeff will at some point consider putting out a book of these recipes along with his other books?
Wow. I have no idea.
I mean, I did.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about that.
I haven't either.
Okay. I want a cut of the proceeds.
Yeah, exactly.
You get 10% off the top.
He's like, great, more work.
each year a couple of these have continued on to the next year, but yeah, he's got about 20 drinks up his sleeve.
Getting up there, right?
And also, Brad Smith, Don, and Vic from, oh my God.
Okay, I definitely want a cut of the proceeds. We're brainstorming. we're workshopping this right now.
That's Brad's Tom and Jerry
variation.
Variation.
Oh, cool.
And I love it so much that I really want to kind of punch him in the face. So it's so good.
And I had it every day last year during Christmas.
Me too.
And I told Brad
that was our shift ring. It's like I gotta have it.
I told Brad I was going to get diabetes. It's like the amount of sugar that's got to be in this thing, because it's such a rich. I mean, it's a Tom and Jerry. And he told me, don't worry about diabetes. If you know how much butter was going into that, you should be worried about your heart more than anything. I got jogged home that night.
Oh, my aorta. Yeah. Well, you guys, we got about a minute left before we're going to close out the radio portion. Let's tell people where they can come check out the Sippin' Santa menu. Absolutely. Tell people where Latitude 29 is, both on the street and online.
Okay, so you're better with the addresses.
Yeah, it's funny. I've worked here for 4 years. I don't know the phone number, but I just got the address down. 321 North Peters Street.
321 North Peters Street. Okay.
In the Bienville House Hotel. Yep. You can find us on latitude29nola.com as well.
Perfect. And you guys are open...
Every day.
Every day, 3 o'clock Monday through Thursday, right? And then you guys open a little earlier on Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Friday and Saturday, we open at 1. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Sip and Santa runs until, I think, the first of the year. So you still got a couple weeks to get it in.
Cool. Awesome. And one thing, too, and I mean, we don't have time to get into this. The food here is really
the
good.
Food
so we were talking
awesome.
About all drinks so far, but I mean, the food
I'm
here is fantastic.
I'm craving a pork adobo right now.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good. I love the ribs.
The ribs are stupid.
The ribs are stupid. You know, like you said, it makes me want to punch your chef in the face.
Oh, God. So good. All right. Now I'm hungry.
All right. Sorry. Thirsty and hungry.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, sorry, Ken.
And on that note, and on that Brian note, the Grinch. Yeah.
Sad Santa sadness. Friends, we're going to close out the radio portion here at the Noel Drinks Show. Sam and Kim are going to stick around for another shot with Noel Drinks. So if you're listening on the radio, go get the podcast on your favorite platform or at noeldrinks.com. But if you're here on the radio, remember, be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until then, cheers all. Everybody, hey, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Noel Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you, as always, every week here on the program, our extended podcast-only conversation. Hope you enjoyed and have enjoyed that conversation there with Kim and Sam. There you go. Hey, it's the holidays. I'm having a hard time, all right? I'm just trying to plug through here, but fun conversation. We're going to kick it right back over in just a second. Back to Latitude 29, where we have another shot with Noel Drinks, talking with them. We don't have too much time. It's kind of a short Another Shot segment because, well, it's a working bar and they had to get the bar open. People had to get to work. So we chat for just maybe about 5 minutes or so, a little bit more, and then I'll be back with my parting shot. Here we go. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Noel Drinks. Yep, we're here at Latitude 29 chatting with Sam and Kim, and we're going to take about 5 more minutes here. You guys, one of the cool things about Latitude 29, that we're talking about all these drinks being, you know, these well-crafted, curated drinks, and we've covered that pretty well. But when you guys, like, do stuff in the happy hour, there, you guys get some opportunity for some creativity here, right? You get to you come up with your own drinks and put them on the menu.
Absolutely.
For better or worse.
one of my favorites, actually, was Sam's when I first started here, which was the Haitian Divorce.
Oh, yeah, it was a fun one.
And it was a mixture of coconut, and it was a lot of peyote. So having that as a base, I mean, it was really, really cool, and it was very pretty, too. So,
well, we're fortunate. Brad, our GM, who we've brought up multiple times, will usually give us an assignment. So for that particular one, he gave out locations. So I ended up with Haiti. So I had to do a little research. The guy who invented Peychaud's invented it here in New Orleans, but he was actually from Haiti. So started with a little bit of Peychaud's. And then the only other thing I really knew about Haiti, and this sounds pretty ignorant, is the Steely Dan song, Haitian Divorce.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this great line in the song that says, "She drinks the zombie from the cocoa shell." So I'll try to think, what would a zombie in Haiti in the 70s taste like? So Galliano, Coco Lopez, everything bad about Tiki kind of flipped for a more modern day palate. And it turned out really nice.
It was really great.
So did you use like Galliano and stuff in it? Or
oh,
you
yeah,
kind
man.
Of just go
Galliano,
for it?
Yeah, okay, Coco Lopez, an ounce of Peychaud's, which stained our jiggers and our blenders this nice pink from that. <Yes. laughs> I think we had to get a new jigger and a new new blender after that.
I think that's why we had the black jiggers now.
Yeah, probably so.
Oh, there's a good idea. That solves the problem.
Yeah,
right
exactly.
There. Now, do you guys have the happy hour menu going on now, or is that the Sip and Santa stuff?
Just
the
Sip and Santa for right now.
Okay.
And we'll go back to happy hour in January.
So. What has been your most recent assignment, Kim, for what you
Oh, gosh. What did he give me last time? I had the Ikebana that was using plum wine.
I had that. That's nice. That was a good drink.
Was,
I remember.
It was
I actually had
gin and plum wine. I think a little lemon and ginger beer or whatever. But what he's good is he knows all of our styles and what our kind of go tos are. So he makes you stretch your legs.
Cool.
A little bit. He's like, okay, all right, Matt, you're not allowed to use allspice, you know, or this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Or I want a stirred drink from you. I want, you know,
that's cool.
That type of thing. So he really challenges us in really amazing ways.
And we get to workshop them together, so it can
collaborative.
Sure. So it's an awesome thing.
So what, Sam, you real quickly before we close this out, you had a winter warmer, as you said, in your back pocket. That's not necessarily affiliated with here, but what's that?
First year I haven't done it in probably 6 or 7 years, which I'm a little upset with myself about, but it's an aged eggnog. So I'd read about it in NPR back in like 2006 or something. So well before I'd thought about mixing cocktails. And it was basically, you can age it because you have to put so much booze in there that it kills any bacteria. Me not knowing anything about cocktails, I just added a lot of extra booze in there. So one of my...
Everything's dead.
Oh, man. including some livers after the Christmas party we had, because I remember my good buddy back home, Neil, has a particular way with words. And he was the first person I sampled on my first batch of eggnog, and I don't know if this is a kid-friendly show or not.
We're on the podcast-only portion, so you can swear and say whatever the hell you want.
Well,
now,
he took a sip of it, looked at me, and just square in the eye, I said, "Well, that'll put your dick in the dirt." That was the first time I started thinking about, man, balance is an actual thing in cocktails.
It like, is. Mm-hmm.
So I've refined it over the years, but it changes. You know, obviously, it's leaning more towards a rummy eggnog, but... a lot of people age them for a full year, which I've gone upwards of about 5 to 6 months.
Right.
I think you hit your bell curve at around a month.
Okay.
So, I think you get everything out of aging for a month, and then it starts to go downhill. But
are you doing like an overproofed rum? Or,
actually, OF, shout out to Jeff's
OFTD.
Which, again, we had another, and I know we're kind of close to time, but the OFTD flip, basically eggnog in a
so
pinch.
Good.
A whole egg, a couple ounces of
you
OFTD.
You made one the other night for somebody, didn't you?
Yeah, made one the other night. It was on one of the original Sip and Santa menus.
That sounds pretty good.
Oh, it's fantastic, man. Yeah.
That's a great for an overproof rum. When that first came out.
And then
out.
Also don't forget Coquitos and also making your own Irish cream and stuff like that. They're great gifts. And it's also, you know, inexpensive, and you know, people get drunk. They're happy. So, Coquitos is another great, you know, it's Puerto Rican. It's Puerto Rican eggnog. It's amazing. So
and you can find recipes for that online, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Well, you guys, thanks so much for taking time here. I appreciate it. Thanks for the drinks and the lovely conversation. And you have a bar and restaurant to open up, so we're going to close this out. But
somebody
got to
make the drinks around here.
Somebody's got to make the drinks around here. Come, friends, go check out
Latitude. We got to drink the drinks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm here. These are not going to waste, friends, after. Friends, we're going to close out this little portion here of the show, take a brief musical interlude, and I will be back with my parting shot. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show, as always, this week. Fun conversation there with Kim and Sam, as I'm sure you gathered. Loved having them on. I've had Kim on. It's probably about the third time that she's been on. And first time that Sam's been on. What a great guest he was. Very interesting stuff, talking about Tiki, talking about Sippin' Santa, and all kinds of other wonderful holiday cheer there at Latitude 29. Go check them out. Got a little bit more time left here before the end of December to go check that out.
So a lot of fun there. Friends, here's our parting shot. We're keeping it really short, and it's something that we actually talked about before, two things, kind of. You know, just remember to take care of those who are taking care of you during the holidays. It's always a stressful time. If you're lonely, reach out to people. It can be a very isolating time, so remember that as well. And also, take care of those in the service industry who are taking care of you. They're working when almost everybody's not, because that's how they make a living. So remember to take care of them, tip them generously, help them out as they help us out. And simply and shortly last, everybody, happy holidays to you. That's our parting shot. Here's to you.